for most of my church and many that are standing here that are well beloved to me still believe that their trial has something to do with the natural. If they could fix this or fix that or improve that or go to the next level, things would be fixed. And there is a certain fact in that. But I say unto you this day that behind the scenes of your deepest trials, afflictions, are spiritual things that are taking place in a realm that will never be fixed. It will never be addressed unless I have your spiritual authority. As long as you battle in the flesh, these things will never be settled, but you'll go from one thing to the next to the next. But I'm offering you grace today, says the Spirit of grace. That no matter where you're at, or no matter where your walk is at, that if you will yield to my grace and say yes to my grace and begin to participate in my grace coming to you today, then I will work with that authority behind the scenes in realms where darkness is fighting you and you've yet to recognize that darkness is the culprit and not natural things. But know this today, that I'm asking of you and I'm imploring you and I'm leaning to you. I want to bring you forward in victory. Together, you and I will walk through the door into places where I bring you into a wide place, not a narrow place, but a wide place where there is plenty of grace. Mountains and mountains and mountains of grace, says the Spirit of grace. For those who will participate and offer your heart and your body and your mind this day, says the Spirit of grace. And they're good as today. Natalie, can you come here? Can you come here? I got something for you. Stand there behind her, Carl. Man, they're good as today. Oh, I'm glad. Here we go. Stand here. Both of you. I didn't know. I didn't see you here. Coming real strong. I can feel his love. I saw a cloud being broke up today. A cloud that bent over you, the both of you, and tried. I saw it break. I saw glory come, a presence. And a healing, layers of healing. Oh God, what a good day for them. Lord breathed on that cloud and it just dissipated. You didn't even know where it went. It's gone. Watch in the days ahead, says the Spirit of grace. Prosperity of life, spirit, marriage, and all good things that I've said to you both from the beginning. The enemy of your soul is a liar, but I am true. I have not forgotten you. Oh, so good. How did I say, Gideon? pulls me into these things as much as the one that's receiving it. I feel what they feel. It's a good thing what's happening. Hallelujah. Say, I can do this, I can do that, I can sing, I can do that. That'll be great, and we'll. But I'll tell you, what God's looking for more than anything else is dead people. So you prove yourself to God, like you mean, not like prove, like I was just talking about, not to do, like having to do works. But you live a life that's fasting and prayer, and you're not opinionated. You don't want to tell other people how they should be living. It's just like a farmer planting a crop. Nowadays it's modern, so they've got big combines. But years ago when they were planting the seed, they just had their face to the ground. If you'll be concerned about you and just have a real shallow peripheral in spiritual things, like God will use you. But you got to get to the place where you don't really care one way or the other. Alan Taylor, I was listening to him this week. We were prepared. Oh, pray for the Brazil conference that starts tomorrow night. Even if you don't attend, just pray for it. So we go on with our, each one of us, Gary, myself, and Alan, we each have our own personal interpreter that works with us. And it's good because they learned, you know, our cadence of speech and kind of how to express. They learn us over many different conferences. And so every year, we do two conferences a year, but prior to each conference, a few days, we have a green room meeting where we have the technicians. There'll be several technicians, and we'll be able to see them all on the Zoom call. And they'll be giving us, you know, what we need to do is we need to adjust your mic, or we need to, we all have the same backdrop. It's the lighting. Maybe we need to increase our, you know, we got these big donut size lights so I sit in the camera, but I don't look up because the light is almost, you know, when you're doing TV and stuff, you have to have enough light. Sometimes it almost blinds you, but they've got to have it to see. So each one of us have a few, we have to go on, and they want everybody to go off, to mute their mics and go off camera. And each one of us, they want us to speak for a minute or two just so they can adjust our mic, make sure that our sound's okay. So we do that each time. But leading up to the point, what I remember Alan this time, sometimes we'll just say something, it won't even be spiritual, but it's just we got to talk because they got to adjust our mic. But this week, each one of us had something applicable to say concerning the conference. And they had me start, and I said some things about my expectations, about what I felt spiritually was going to take place. And then Alan started, and he was next with his interpreter. And he told a story that I've heard him tell 1,000 times. That's an exaggeration, of course. But still, it was so important. He said when he started out, and he was doing the administration he was the administrator for a certain ministry, and they were a big ministry per se, and he was used to doing conferences, but he didn't have his own traveling ministry. But so then when he came over to Pastor Dave's, You know, the first thing that he wanted to do was, because he had been so, the orientation of the ministry that he was at was like, he did everything, you know, and they were taught to do everything. And they were taught like, you should volunteer, you should do this, you should. And then when he comes over, he didn't tell this part so much, but he was saying, because I'd heard that part before. He said, when I got there, I was like, I went to Tim, I went to Gary, and I went to the different ones and said, I'm here, what do you want me to do? And they said, we want you to just do nothing but sit and pray. Sit and pray for, you know, and the Lord will. That was so foreign to him, to just sit and pray. But then he thought maybe, you know, he's supposed to go out and speak, because he didn't have any income. And he's like, he was recounting how the preachers had told him, because he was like, how do I break out? I mean, how do I break through? How does anybody ever know who I am? So the natural human knowledge is, and this, he said he had one preacher tell him, well, you get a bunch of, print a bunch of business cards and with your name on it, and tell them you're available, and you go out and you go to churches, go to conventions, and you just pass out your cards. And then you also mention that you he worked for Norval Hayes. That's not a secret. He said, and that's going to catch some of them's attention, and somebody's going to call you. And then and then he said there were several other, you know, ways that men told him he'll get started in the ministry. God will start you like this. And it was all natural applications, like, okay, business cards, name dropping was one. You know, you should go and name drop. And then once you break in, somebody has you at their church, then that's how it'll kind of get. And he told Pastor Dave, he goes, nobody's asking me to come. He goes, what should I do? And he said, well, Alan, he said, nobody's asking you because God doesn't want you to be out there doing that. Because God's not promoting you. He said, when God gets ready, and you're ready for promotion, you won't have to do anything. They're not asking you because God's not in it. He's got something else right now. Don't push God. Don't push God in your ministry. Don't push God in. When you listen, if you're called to do anything, I won't be able to stop it. Nobody around you will be able to stop it. You don't have to ask, you don't have to say, you don't have to flag anybody down and say, hey, do you know what I'm capable of or what? If it's God, again, Dave, just simple wisdom. If they're not calling, God's not in it. But the moment that God has something for you to do, he'll open up things. Hallelujah. I don't know why I did that. Oh, Natalie, where are you at? Come up here, Miss Natalie. See, God reminded me. Natalie felt like the Holy Spirit spoke something to her concerning what would have been said or prophesied. Mm-hmm. The pulpit is yours.
So. Yeah, it's just heavy. And with that prophecy, when the Lord was talking about yielding to him, no matter what you're going through, like, bring it to him. Right before that, well, right after that prophecy, immediately I was like, I surrender, I yield, Lord. Now, a few weeks ago, I wouldn't have said that, if I'm being honest. I would have hesitated. We've been going through just just a lot. Like, you know how, like, it's battle after battle, like, fight after fight, like, and there was a point where I was just really disappointed. I was disappointed in what God had told me that what I wasn't seeing. I was disappointed in things happening in my marriage. Nothing crazy, just, you know, we ain't getting along, like, you know. But, you know, it's ain't nothing but the enemy, you know. I was disappointed in relationships, and I was just disappointed. And I'm just like, God, is this it? Like, I'm just going to be fighting for the rest of my... I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired. And I would show up to prayer and just sit there and be like, Lord, I'm here. Like, and there were days where I'm like, yeah, I'm mad at you. Like, I'm just being honest. And he still was just there, would not let me go. Like, there was previous, like, prophecies where the Lord was really just telling us to hang on. Like, I have not forgotten about you, because it felt like he did. And I just been, we just been pushing through. And I even had to reach out to homework. And I was just like, homework, like, I'm tired. I'm tired. And I still continue to show up. Just like, if you don't take anything from this, keep showing up with the Lord. Just keep, even if you don't have nothing to say. And I just kept showing up, and then he would lead me to certain verses in the Bible. I used to worship all the time. Like, I'm real big on worship in my house. Like, even going through that, like, I noticed, like, I wasn't worshiping. And so then I started playing some songs. I started playing some old school songs, like, and I was just like, just thinking of the goodness of the Lord, thinking about, like, just being grateful, like, man, like, he's taken me through a lot. Like, and I just started just being grateful and started just thinking about how good he is. And then recently I just been like, okay, Lord, I just, all right, like, I, whatever you want me to do, whatever it is, okay. Because even if I, let's say I quit and I go back and just live a good Christian life and not try to work on myself, not try to do what he says, I'm still going to need him. Like, I'm still going to need him. So I really, on my heart, the Lord's like, yield and just come to him about anything. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Like, cause he knows you can't hide it. I don't care. You put up a good old front. He knows. Like, just come to him. And then when you do come to him about things that you're struggling with, like, he's not going to, like, ridicule you. He's going to ask you questions like, why do you do that? But why do you feel you have to say that? Or he's going to ask you, not in a condescending way, but like, I'm trying to help you. Like, and so when you're doing whatever it is that he wants you to work on, or whatever the enemy's fighting, like, help, like, go to him so he can help you. Like, you can't do it on your own. Like, I tried. I'm going to tell you right now. I've tried to work on me, and like, I can't, my husband knows. I need the Lord. Like, you know, like, now I will say this. Yes, hold yourself accountable. Like, but don't do it alone. You need the Lord. And so just now, like, when I heard that prophet, I was just like, okay, Lord, like, I yield. And like, it was like my heart. And so then when I came up here, I was going to get on the knee, but I got a dress and heels on, and y'all saw I almost fell over earlier, but you know, I just came with my heart just yielding, just yielding. And I just like, okay, Lord. And I didn't even know he was going to say all that. Like, I was just right there. The moment you yield, like, he's going to come in with whatever you need. I didn't even know. I thought we were doing all right. Like, we were just barely hanging on. Like, okay, but it yield. That's all I got to say. Just yield.
So good, man. Hearing the Lord and listening to his testimony, his prophetic testimony, and what has been confirmed. You can go with me if you want to read, listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Then we'll go someplace else here in just a moment. I think you'll find interesting. And I do want to pray. I want to pray. I'm not going to pray extensively for everybody. I'm going to give an invitation. You don't have to stay around if you don't want to. But he has two words for me to speak over you. I saw it in a vision inside of me, and I'm going to speak it through the camera to you. Just two words. And you'll find out what those are in just a few moments. But let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I might as well start at the beginning because I'll leave out something that's really nice. Therefore, seeing, verse 1, we have this ministry. As we receive mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those, to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine in darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, meaning this clay pot, this physical body, that the excellency of the power of may be of God and not of us. Well, if it's not of us, then it is of God. Paul said this, and he said this not only of himself and his apostolic team, but he said this for the body and the whole body of Christ, that we find ourselves oftentimes in this particular place, both spiritually and naturally. We're troubled on every side. Meaning, sometimes the trials are not just one, but they have a multiplicity to them that there may be one or two that seems like the biggest or the worst. But it's all the other things that there's a season where the enemy comes, and a season that's where he camps against your flesh, and he camps against your emotions, and he camps against your body. And it's maybe the little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a whole lot of everything. Paul was going through this, and his team, and he recognized that there are times where he said, we are troubled on every side, yet we're not in distress. There's a secret place that grace hides you in, that if you find that place and step over into it, if you divorce and say, okay, I know I'm not going to win mentally, emotionally. It's not that I'm going to necessarily be destroyed. They may not find me as a bowl of jelly in as a basket case sitting in a room by myself in a fetal position. It may not go that far, but he wants to neutralize you. He wants to neutralize you. Natalie said something that we've all fought at times. During those times where there's just a surrounding cascade, it's like a carousel of so many things that you don't even know how to count them. The things that even that you were once a go-to in the spirit, like worship or seasons of prayer, it will do everything. That's what the trials come for. It wants to neutralize you. It wants you to back up and just be so physically or spiritually exhausted to say, this is too much. And you don't give up, but at the same time, it's like, how many have ever asked yourself or even asked God, when's this thing going to get over? How long's the shelf life on this? When's the expiration date on this? Because this thing's lasted longer than I thought it would. He said, we are perplexed, but not in despair. The word perplexed here means, excuse me, this ain't working out like I thought it was going to happen. And it seems like as soon as one thing is settled, another thing takes its place. And there's a shroud sometimes. Perplexed means you can't figure it out with the natural mind. It just really, it won't make sense. See, that's what Satan, we're talking a little bit now on a lot on spiritual warfare. The Lord is bringing spiritual war. You can't beat him, Satan, with your mind. You can't figure things out and beat him and get the attack off of you. You have to speak the word of God. You have to speak when you don't feel like it. When nothing inside of you feels the emotion of the word that you're speaking, you have to speak it. And perplexed means none of this makes sense. And I thought it got settled last week, and here it is again. I thought it got settled 5 minutes ago, and here it is again, staring me in the face. And yet Paul said, we're not in despair. That's when you have to step over in that realm and say, okay, it's like there's something inside of you has to go to a place where you learn a place of grace. The same thing that Paul learned when he asked Jesus 3 times, get this thing off of me. Because something was following him around every city he went. He could not, every place he went, there was this antagonistic, demonic principality that followed him, that he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, it's like his whole life was one fiasco after another. And Paul just came to the point where he's like, in my own words, this thing's wearing me out. I need a spiritual vacation from this thing. And Jesus said to him, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And many have interpreted that as Paul put up, just suffer through it. Boy, it was much greater. It wasn't just endure. Now, there's a great truth in enduring suffering. But Paul came to the place after 3 times asking the Lord to get this thing off of him. He realized this. Jesus said to him, my strength is perfected in your weakness. When you come to the end of Paul, and Paul feels like, I can't do this anymore. When you shift your dependency off of the flesh and whatever it is inside of you that says, I cannot, it won't go away, and I cannot go another step. I can't lift my hands and say, thank you, Jesus, another time. Jesus said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, he said, then he came to the revelation. When Jesus said that, he said, my grace. It's not grace like to put up with or endure. It's grace to switch you off of the flesh man over to the spirit man. Then in that place, because this man, he'll break down. He's fragile. But that man, that spirit man, Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. When I can switch the dependency from that man, the flesh man, the outward man, onto this man, the spiritual man, then an attitude comes. Not a mental attitude, but something far greater. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Something takes place. I find myself stepping over into that place, and I'm energized with strength and life and the pursuit of continuing. Something inside of me won't let this vision die. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. I got to remember my assignment. Let me finish up real quick and let me go to one other place. And I don't think this prayer line is going to be long as far as it'll be as long as you want it to be. He said this, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. And here's the real secret to it all. Always bearing about in the body. Always bearing about. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. Manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Hallelujah. In other words, again, the dependency. As long as you continue in that place, Paul said, we find ourselves, this myself, apostolic team, and the entire body of Christ, if you're on this journey, called outpouring, revival, walking into the fullness. The secret to winning is this, yielding to the grace of God. And saying, okay, my body is not my own. My life's not my own. I'm not going to quit because I die. I choose not physical death. He's talking about the death of your will to His will. To say, Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. Let's go one other place. Turn over with me to the book of Zechariah. Now I could teach, and I'd love to teach extensively on this, but I'm going to be cut short by the Holy Spirit. Which is fine. He's not my servant, I'm His. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a prophecy given to a man named Zerubbabel here. And it's very important that we understand just, I hope I can do this in about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, give you a background. Because if you have the background, then you appreciate the essence of the prophecy. Zechariah is an incredible book with numerous visitations by angelic or angels giving him the interpretation of visions and prophecies. The Jews, because of rebellion, went into bondage to the Babylonians. And many of your books, many of the Old Testament books were written during that time. And just prior to that and shortly after. Jeremiah wrote in his writings that the Jews would go in and they would have 70 years of bondage. When Daniel was over in Babylon and went to a place of authority, he studied the Word of God, and Daniel, out of the Word of God, out of the writings of Jeremiah, received the revelation that we're going to be here 70 years. So, you know, plant your vineyards. We're not leaving here anytime soon. Have children, have family. because we're going to be here for 70 years. At the end of 70 years, God raises up a king, a Persian king. It switches from a Babylonian king. The Persians come in, conquer Babylon, and he raises up a Persian king. The Persian king that he uses is a man named Cyrus the Great, in which he uses Cyrus to set the Jewish people in part free. And he says, I'll allow so much to go back and go back to the homeland. And a lot has been said about Cyrus, King Cyrus, in these days. Then after Cyrus came another king by the name of Darius. And that's the one where Daniel had his deal with the lion's den. Darius, the king, divided the provinces of Persia into, I believe, 12 different provinces. And he puts a man by the name of Zerubbabel, which was a Jew, over the province of Israel. And he tells Zerubbabel, he gave him an assignment. He says, I want you to go back and rebuild the temple that was destroyed when the Babylonians came in. So Zerubbabel comes back, and he comes back with a team that's with him. And one of the team members is a priest by the name of Joshua, and Zechariah was also what we're at right now. He was a prophet, and he was sent to minister to Zerubbabel, and also another prophet, which is a short book just prior to Zechariah, which is the book of Haggai. And he also was a contemporary that went with this team back to minister and help build the temple. Well, when they get back, there's an incredible amount of opposition. There's still the biggest bunch of the Jewish people are still in Babylon, but there's a small group, several thousands, that's there, but they're impoverished. There's no temple. There's no walls. The walls don't go up until years later when Ezra and Nehemiah come in. God actually tells them at one point, I'm going to be a wall for you, a wall of fire while the temple is being built. But the amazing part is that all of the opposition that, and I could go into a lot of other parts. There's some really good parts here about Joshua, which is none other stereotypical. It's a shadow of Jesus. You know, the word Joshua, the name Joshua means, interpreted from Hebrew, means Jesus. And we see Joshua the conqueror over in the book of Joshua, but here we see Joshua the priest. And at one point here, this angel that is speaking to Zechariah the prophet, he shows him a vision. And while Joshua is ministering, Satan, it says, is standing at his right hand, and he's opposing him, he's accusing him. And so we see that from the very beginning, Satan was trying to destroy the work that God had said that should take place. Now, give me 5 more minutes, and I'm going to pray. But Zerubbabel, this governor, goes in there, and he's got a mission from God. How many have ever believed that we've received a mission from God? Sir. Come on, you can raise your hand. This is not an altar call. Okay, we've received a mission from God. What is that mission? Revival. Revival, outpouring, kingdom of God, outpouring. Zerubbabel goes in there, and if you read the book and you find out and you compare it with Ezra and different other books, there was a whole lot of stuff going on. The people were saying, as he was rebuilding this temple, they were saying, this is nothing like its former glory. That was one thing that was, while they're building and they've got all these hundreds of maybe thousands of workers, there's people that are antagonistically saying, I don't know why you're building this. It looks nothing like Solomon's house, the one that was destroyed. So why even build it? Besides for that, the Samaritans were saying, can we work with them? And God said, don't let them work. They got so mad that they sent an envoy of people back to Babylon and spoke to the king, which was not Darius anymore. and said, those people are doing that so that they can rise up against you. Well, he shuts it down. And while Zerubbabel has it, he's get the foundation laid, but before he could ever get the walls up, it shut down. And it shut down for 17 years. Now he's got all this stuff. He's got people murmuring. He's got his people murmuring. Then he's got people coming against him and saying, it's nothing like. And then Haggai also prophesies. And there's a lot of people, even the Israeli people, are saying this. It's not time. It's not time to build the temple. And God said it was time. He's got a yammer here and a yammer there. And he's got all these devils, really. There's just a bunch of devils. But look what God says to him. And this is a familiar verse, but it's hardly ever understood in the context. But yet the context follows us today in our personal lives. Let me see here. How can I just do a little without fragmenting this too much? Verse 1 of chapter 4 said this. And the angel that talked with me came again and walked me and waked me as a man that is awakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked and behold. Now this is going to sound strange to some of you. I'll explain it, not in depth, but in short form. And behold, a candlestick, all of gold, and with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereof, and seven pipes. Now I'm not going to get into all it, that would just confuse you this morning. It's not necessary. We've got a short time here. Seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and the two olive trees by it, and one upon the right side and of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and said to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord. Now I'm going to read verse 6. We're going to pray. Anybody that wants to stay and be prayed over, I don't have to pray over you all individually, but I have a word for you, and I have a word for the camera. But Zechariah had this vision, and he saw this vision. Now, this sounds strange, but just kind of get the essence of the understanding of it. He saw lamps that were lit, and above these lamps that were lit was this bowl that contained the oil, the olive oil, which they used then to burn lamps. And this bowl was above them, and then there was these pipes that fed into each lamp. But above the bowl was olive trees, one on the right and one on the left. The olive trees, where do you get olives from? Olive trees. Where do you get fuel from? You get it from the olive berry. So what he's describing there is a perpetualness, a non-ending perpetual. The trees poured olive oil into the bowl, and the bowl fed the pipes that burnt the flames. And it's a beautiful interpretation. He said, the angel said to him, this vision, the meaning of this vision is what I want you to say. This is the word to Zerubbabel. Because Zerubbabel he's fighting discouragement. His mission is, he's not allowed. He started the foundation sitting there, but it doesn't look like it's going anywhere. How many of you have ever felt like God took you so far, and then it just seems like he cut things off? It wasn't God, but it was a time and a season to go in and say, I'm going to fight, and I'm not going to stop until I win. And for 17 years, this thing had been shut down. There were all kinds of things that Zerubbabel was discouraged about. But Zechariah said, say this to him. That's the vision. This perpetual place of the oil feeding the flames. Say to him this. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Spirit of hosts. Hallelujah. It's the same thing Natalie just said. Yield to the grace of God. It's the same thing God said to Paul, or Christ said to Paul, yield to my grace. Because in my grace, you can never exhaust my grace. Well, what is my grace? It's his supernatural strength. You got to tap into it. You got to tap into it. How do I tap into it? By yielding to it. By absolutely yielding to it. Tell Zerubbabel, it's not by might. He's not going to win this any other way but by yielding to this continual grace that is being poured out. Not by might nor by power. And he said, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? All these things, the shutdown, the whole thing wasn't working. That thou shalt be a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Hallelujah. This may not mean very little to you at the moment, except that you see it in the Spirit. He said, Zerubbabel will bring forth the headstone, and when he's bringing it forth, he will say, grace, grace has done this. Now, the headstone there is not the cornerstone. The cornerstone is something you put in the ground in the foundation. The headstone is, in the Hebrew, the word is capstone. It's the last. It's the stone that you lay when you say, here's the last thing to be set in order. And grace, 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 grace brought me this far. Say unto Zerubbabel, the hands, look at the next verse and then we're closing. He said this, the hands of Zerubbabel that have laid, I'm putting that, have laid the foundation of this house, his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know, excuse me, that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who had despised the day of small things? Who? Hallelujah. I could go on and on and on, but let's close. And let's pray. Stand up with me. Harry, could you and Robert or Carl just move it one way or the other? Sing that song one more time. Well, you can do either one. It doesn't matter. Robert, you want to join in?
You are again.
I'm going to ask you and those that are watching, please, if you have to leave, it's okay. It is totally okay. If you need to go next door, it's okay. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm under direction by the Holy Spirit to stop rushing any of our services. And I'm not trying to make you feel unspiritual or anything, but it's not going to matter to me how long any of our services ever go anymore. We're not trying to stop at 12 or at 8 or 7 or whatever our, but at the same time, I don't want to put anybody under bondage. If you need to, and don't ever feel like I'm thinking you're less spiritual. But we've got to have this freedom, and I've got to speak it as the head elder. But I'm asking, I just want to, if you want prayer, because I know that there are so many of you that is represented in that testimony that Natalie gave. There's a swirl of sometimes doubt, fear, anxiety, things that don't make sense. I'm not going to prophesy over, I don't think, any of you. I just want to stand in front of you and say, grace, grace. Because that's what he told me. I saw the vision, and there's going to be grace imparted to you, and there's going to be a change, just like for that family that he used as a testimony this morning. There's going to be a change that's going to take place. If that's you and you want prayer, please come and stand. And come and stand right across the front. And I hope that's many of you. No matter how spiritually, no matter what place of spirituality that you're walking in. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you.
Give me a couple of lines. And after I pray for you, you can stand there or you can be dismissed. Hallelujah. Let's give them all time just for a moment.
Because
those of you that are watching, the word of God goes out of my mouth in a spiritual form. Grace, grace. Grace, grace. It is not by might, nor is it by power. But it's by my spirit. I don't care if there has been a delay. Delay is not denial. Even though you don't understand why it hasn't happened, perplexed, but not in despair. Grace, 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 grace. I speak into you in Jesus' name. I'm going to start down here. You guys just kind of watch him. Just going to lay hands on each person. I pronounce grace, grace, in the name of Jesus. Grace, 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 grace. This is my blessing from God. Grace, grace, grace. The grace of God. Grace, His grace. Change, change. Change is taking place today by His grace. 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 Can everybody say it with me? Grace. Grace. In Jesus' name. Grace. Grace. His grace. Grace. Grace, honey. Grace. Yes. Grace. 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 Jesus. Grace. His grace. 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 More grace. Grace. Hallelujah.
Lord
Jesus. Your grace. Grace. Your grace. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. I'm telling you, whether you feel it or not, it's immaterial. I didn't have any idea whether or not people would even begin to fall. All I heard was impart grace. Jesus. Love you guys so much. So wonderful. You guys want to stand here? Grace and grace, grace in Jesus' name. Grace. More grace. More grace. Grace. Your grace, Jesus. More grace, Jesus. More grace, Jesus. Your grace, Jesus. Grace. More grace. Grace. Grace, Jesus. Grace, grace. Change, change. Grace, grace, grace. Change, Jesus. Grace, grace, Jesus. Your grace, Lord. Jesus, your grace. Your grace, Jesus. Your grace, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, your grace.
grace, Jesus. Hallelujah. Grace. Your grace, Jesus. Grace. Your glory, Jesus. Change. Glory. Glorious change. Your grace, Jesus. Jesus. Grace. Grace, Jesus. Grace. Yes, Jesus.
These final stones in grace, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Your grace, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Grace, Lord. Jesus. Grace, Jesus. Grace. Grace, Lord Jesus. Grace, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. 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 Ikarasa lokarasta da. Neharasa da lokarasta da. Jesus, your grace. More and more, Jesus. More and more grace. More and more grace. More and more grace. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Feel better than you did when you came in today. Hallelujah.
Everyone turn to the camera, would you please, with me? Somebody's. It's okay. It's okay. Hallelujah. It's okay. Hallelujah, Jesus. Stretch your faith towards the camera. Everybody say this, grace.
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 Fill the homes, the lives, the bodies, the ministries, the marriages, the children. Grace.
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 Say this. Say, it is not by might. Nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I say to all of you, the hands that have laid the foundation will see the walls built. We'll see the end of this. We'll see the capstone. We'll see the end of this thing done. Hallelujah. Give God a great big hand, would you please? Hallelujah. We worship you. We'll see you tonight. Amen.